Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Respectfully Disagree. So, we're currently in Coffee with Karan season. That got us thinking about trashy TV and whether it's inherently harmful. I mean, we're not necessarily calling Coffee with Karan trash, but definitely acknowledging that it's part of that genre of TV that falls under, you know, trashy television. So today we're going to sit and tear apart this question and try and figure out why is it that we're so addicted to trashy TV and what are its pros and cons. So to start off with, let's ask everybody, is trashy TV inherently harmful? Yes or no? Where do you stand? This is Shishti, your host, by the way. And according to me, trashy TV is, I don't know, I'm in the middle. So yes and no, the academics go to answer.
Hi, this is Rohita, and I love trashy TV. Like, I don't know if it's unhealthy, the way that I watch it religiously, especially with Coffee with Karan, let's just admit that. But so I don't think it's inherently harmful, but sometimes I have my doubts.
Hi, I'm Aditi. I think I'm also a bit in the middle, but for fun, I think I'm going to argue that it's not inherently harmful because, like, yes.
Great.
Hi, this is Vatsala. I love, like Rohita, I love trashy TV. I have a few guilty pleasures and some I'm embarrassed to share, etc. But I do, I'm going to acknowledge that there's some shows that are problematic and could influence behaviors. And that is where I would go with them. Yeah, a bit of both, yes.
Wow, we're all kind of being a little bit in the middle about this one. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that probably all of us enjoy some amount of trashy TV. So I think let's start off with like an honest, you know, putting ourselves out there and talking about what is that one guilty pleasure that we allow ourselves and what is basically, you know, the so bad it's good TV show. So what is that one show for you?
Yeah, where do I even start? First, it's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Paris Hilton's my new BFF. My super sweet 16. Too hot to handle. Okay, I'm just embarrassing myself right now, but it's true. Like, yeah. I mean, I've not seen all episodes of all of them, but I've seen a few episodes of each of them. And Indian matchmaking, how can we forget? I hate it. It's bad, I think, for society also. But yeah, Indian matchmaking. What else? Like, I honestly lost track.
For me, I feel like I don't watch any of these shows on TV. Because I don't know, in my head I'm like, oh, if I'm watching long form content, it needs to be like, I don't know, quote unquote intellectual on some level. But I will watch like snippets of all of these shows on YouTube, because yeah, on YouTube I can act like, oh, that's not counted, that's like kind of entertainment on the go, so it's okay to watch trashy stuff there. But yeah, I think the same shows, excerpts of Coffee with Karan, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, mainly the two of these.
Yeah.
And like the horrible talk shows, some of them.
That's, it's so interesting that like how we define, you know, like what we're okay with and what we're not. Also that somehow all of us inherently know that, okay, this is trashy TV, so we need to draw certain lines. So, I mean, one big question then is like, why do we love to watch this genre of television called trashy TV? Firstly, why is it called trashy TV? I think we need to like address that, what makes something a part of this trashy TV genre, and why is it that we actually enjoy watching it?
So trashy is also something that's low on information and it's high on emotion. Okay. So reality TV falls in that category. So anything that doesn't involve that kind of an effort, the scripts aren't like proper or good or aren't conveying a sort of a social message.
Yeah.
Something like that. So quick, consumable. Yeah, all of that falls in the trashy bracket. Even talk shows for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this is that there was this really interesting piece that spoke about reality TV and its evolving role. And It was a piece in The Atlantic that talked about how reality TV is kind of a documentary style reportage, because when you look at it, when you look at documentaries also, it's not like it captures something that is, right? But with like a seriousness and a gravitas to it. But reality TV is high on the emotion, like Vatsala said, but there is this dichotomy between emotion and like facts, and then facts is privileged on a higher scale than emotion. So increasingly people are recognizing reality TV as documentary style narratives, except in reality TV, it places real people in artificial surroundings designed for maximum emotional impact. That's the problem that people have with it, the artificiality of the surroundings. But in general, it's like, what is the difference? Why do we consider one to be more prestigious and intellectual than the other?
I mean, I think with a lot of documentaries, though, emphasis is on the craft, and you are trying to do something with the storytelling in terms of pushing the boundaries in some way, right? Like in terms of how it's shot, in terms of how it's edited, in terms of how it comes together, in terms of even the reason why you tell that story. Whereas in reality TV, I think a lot of the times it's about marketing human beings in a way that sells. I think it's much more about that than it is about the craft.
But what do you mean when you say craft? Because is this like, why do you say that films have, like filmmaking is craft, but reality TV is not? Because again, a lot of scholars, while it has been rightly pointed out that they crank up the negative aspects of it up many notches and commodify human beings, all of that is valid critique. But a lot of people have started to see this as, see reality TV as anthropological experiments, and it shows that there can be action and drama without actors. So like in that sense, how do you, is this also not a form of storytelling? Like how do you distinguish good storytelling from bad storytelling, you know?
Very simple, intent. And I think a lot of this is like post facto analysis of like the impact of a piece of culture, which I'm not against. Like I also don't think that things should be dismissed as being trashy, but I think that intentionality is really important. And with reality TV, there's most of the times the intention is to make good reality television. That is what is going to crank up the ratings, what is going to make someone, you know, tune in. It is actually to incite people to behave in the worst possible way. That's why you have formats like putting people into prisons, and like that's literally, I think that All Balaji show with Kangana Ranaut hosting is one of the most popular TV shows on OTT. Why? Because you simulate like prison settings in a way that doesn't make you think about the prison industrial complex or behavior or anything of that sort. I mean, you can do an academic reading of it in that way, but the intentionality of the show is not that. There's Big Boss where they lock you into a house, and the fun is in Pooja, what is this behavior? And watching people like fight and slap and like, you know, like seeing people at their worst behavior. And I think as opposed to that, the craft is simply where it's pushing boundaries of storytelling and what can and cannot be done.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with some of what you're saying, but I still think that reality TV or even trashy TV, even the format of like talk shows and things like that, it's not as unscripted as it seems, right? There is an element of intentionality behind it, the same way that you were talking about. And with films also, there is an intentionality, and we've seen multiple films time after time where more often than not, many of them kind of propagate rape culture and a lot of just misogynistic and oppressive ideologies, and that's intentional. So I just don't draw a very clear line of separation between filmmaking and trashy TV in that sense, because both have a role to play in perpetuating unhealthy things in society.
Huh, for sure. And see, for me, trashy TV would also become something like Juk Juk Jio or something like, you know, whether I think for me, non-trashy content is any content which is trying to be good. It's as simple as that. You don't even have to raise the bar a certain way, right? Because the thing about all of these shows, and the thing about even Karan Johar and his whole brand, is like, hate us or watch us, you will, hate us or love us, you will watch us, right? That's Karan Johar on himself, on Coffee with Karan, and on Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives. So they know what they're making. They know that they're making shows because people watch them, and that's the only thing that they're responsible to. For me, non-trashy content is any content which is trying to be responsible to something more than just that. That could be an aspect of filmmaking, that could be making a story about any particular issue, that could just be trying to make something which engages with the craft rather than with the commercial aspect of it. So, yeah.
I agree with that, but I also feel like sometimes it's more dangerous if, you know, the intention, they think it's good, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
So an example could be Anupama, which is like, you know, a household culture right now. And like,
yeah,
a lot of the women and my grandmothers, all of them in my family, like in Gujarat, in our gully, you can just hear Anupama playing from all the houses or at the same time. And the thing is, it comes off like to them, like the people who are watching it, they think it is progressive in some way. And which is why, so like the difference is that when we're watching trashy TV, something like Coffee with Karan, we know that like this is trashy, right? Everybody, yeah, including that generation, agrees with that. But when it comes to soap operas like these, there's like this illusion of progressiveness, but it's actually not. So in that way, I feel like, you know, soap operas are even worse than reality TV, and which is why, like, when we were talking about, you know, films, trashy films versus trashy television, I feel like trashy television is still slightly more dangerous because it becomes a fabric of our everyday life. Like Anupama is something they watch every day, and those are the things they tell me every day. And now I'm old enough, but my baby sister, who's like 5 years old, if she listens to it every day, that is quite dangerous. Like one film wouldn't be as dangerous as watching this show every day.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah.
So you mean it's more dangerous where it's like, okay, you know, where we're saying that we're trying to make something progressive, but it's actually harmful, rather than where we're saying, okay, it's trash content and everybody accepts it. But here there's like this guise that, okay, it's actually progressive and it's about a woman taking charge or whatever, but it's actually not that.
So that way I feel like reality TV, to me personally, gets a free pass. Because like, at least, as you said, it's upfront about being trash.
Yeah, I don't know, like, is it better to like admit that, okay, this is trashy, and then we don't move from there? I'd much rather have something where it's saying that it's trying to be this, and then there'll be like hundreds of people who are like, okay, let's start criticizing, okay, what is wrong with this, or like, let's have a conversation about what does it try to put forth.
The thing is that there's still that discomfort, right? Like, even when I'm okay with trashy TV, I would never, as we said, all of us were very embarrassed when we were. And when you have that inherent discomfort, like, and because in popular culture, there's that inherent discomfort, at least it's, everybody agrees, right? So, like, even when you're enjoying it and you're sitting and you're just engaging very, very passively with it, which is a weird statement, I realize that. But you still, like, I feel like you still know that there's something wrong with it. And I shouldn't actually, like, I'll enjoy it as a guilty pleasure, but not as, you know, something I actually believe in and I actually follow in my personal life.
I agree with Aditi in that sense, because the distinguishing factor is the self-awareness. And I think a lot of reality shows are themselves self-aware, the viewers are self-aware, and the show itself is self-aware about the fact that this is not meant to be imbibed as a value system, but you just watch and enjoy some schadenfreude. But when it comes to soaps, like TV soaps, like you said, there isn't that element of self-awareness. It actually is preachy and like on a moral high ground and virtue signaling, like that. That's the whole vibe of TV soaps. And I see it with like my relatives also, who watch Big Boss, and then they also watch like Balika Vadhu, and then there's a very stark difference in the way that these shows are consumed also.
Since we're talking a lot of like daily soap versus reality show and like Big Boss versus Anupama, how about like we compare two different forms of, like, let's put trashy TV on the one side and something which is usually not necessarily considered that trashy on the other, and let's see which is more harmful, right? So what about something like Coffee with Karan versus primetime news debate? Which is more harmful?
100% primetime news debate. I mean, come on. Those things are just nuclear levels of toxic. And it changes people's minds. Like, people watch it with the intention of understanding what the news is and having the news interpreted for them. So that's far more dangerous than a Coffee with Karan.
Okay, what about the Crown fans are going to come and murder us? Keeping Up with the Kardashians versus the Crown. Which is worse?
Why is the Crown worse?
I think it's worse. As in, it really... Okay, first of all, the monarchy gets enough airspace as it is for absolutely no reason. My question is, what makes the royal family different from the Kardashians family? I don't get it. Like, there's just like a certain, like, as in today, obviously, I'm not talking about their historical role in ruining the world, but right now, what is the difference? They are decorative, and so are the Kardashians, except one is treated so seriously, and you know, drama made about them is considered to be prestige TV, whereas Keeping Up with the Kardashians is far more entertaining, as much of an inside look, I would say, as the Crown into some certain people's lives. But one actually normalizes a harmful institution and, like, you know, encourages us to be sympathetic towards the royal family, where the other doesn't.
You're saying Keeping Up with the Kardashians doesn't normalize a harmful institution, which is the Kardashian family?
I'm not saying it doesn't normalize it. I'm saying it doesn't prompt us to feel sympathetic towards them. The whole point is to be trashy. But with the Crown, it's like, oh, you have, it's like the royal people have struggles too. Oh my God. But Keeping Up with the Kardashian, it's like their biggest problem is losing an earring or something. And that's very obvious, you know.
Okay. What about Indian matchmaking versus rom-coms? Which is more harmful?
I'm taking an offense here. I have watched Indian Matchmaking, and I mean I've watched it and I don't remember it, and I want it to stay that way. I want to watch the second season, regardless how many people around me make me want to watch it, because everyone's talking about it. I think that's what also happens around with a lot of, say, reality TV or Coffee with Karan, because there's online conversation and even offline.
Yeah.
So even if you don't want to watch it, you'd be like, okay, I don't want to miss out on this, and I want to also say something while this is being discussed. But no, yeah, why rom-coms? I mean, there's a woman setting up people, and in rom-coms, there are women discovering themselves, but in different ways, and men are being nice to them. Like, I'm thinking of all the favorite rom-coms and how much better they've made me feel after a really shitty day. And they told me to take care of myself or do something nice. But I feel none of those feelings after watching Indian Matchmaking. It just makes me feel... in fact, like, marriage is such a trigger word for me. This matchmaking business just pisses me off.
Let me ask you, between Indian Matchmaking and rom-coms, which is the one that sets up more unrealistic expectations of love and romance? And which is the one that actually puts you off marriage, you know? Because rom-coms end in marriage as a happy fairy tale ending. But you're not going to watch Indian Matchmaking and say, wow, I want that for myself. Like, no one ever does, like, is likely to say that, so...
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the fairy tale endings and everything working out, it doesn't happen. And But I like the idea of it. And I like the, you know, to be in that world and to disappear into that world for a bit. And
but also, I just want to say that for a lot of people, both of these categories are trashy TV. I mean, I love rom-coms, but for a lot of people, they're both in that trashy TV of like, so I'm not really... I know, okay, I have to tell all of our listeners that Rohita's put in all the examples in this What's Worse game to basically trick all of us into saying that, actually in every instance, it looks like the reality show or trash TV isn't so bad as the, you know, supposedly cooler form of like content. So, but listen, that ultimately brings us to the question. So are we better off being in a world then, especially look at Rohita, you know, as the writer of all these amazing think pieces and all, who's coming and saying, so are we better off in a world where people are just like, okay, everything is trash, we have no intention, just this is just for fun, just enjoy and go back? Or are we better off in a place where we're like, okay, let's try and make something which has some kind of meaning and something where it's trying to...
I mean, why not both? Why is there a choice?
Because there's limited resources and limited space, and that's what makes anything which isn't easily palatable a hard sell. So that's what I think, it's an illusion that you can have unlimited options, because it's not actually true. And especially the more and more industries like streamline, and the more less and less, you know, the more and more business sense OTTs have to start making of their business, the less and less space there is for experimentation, I think. So we need to like hold our...
You're like, why do we have 14, 15 seasons of Big Boss? Or say, why a Sara Bhai versus Sara Bhai ended when it ended? We haven't had a good show, a good TV show. Like with the West FL feel, they're creating both reality TVs, and they're also making a lot of cool shows. You know, you have a lot of sitcoms, you have a lot of drama, serial killer stuff. There's a lot of mystery. But here we just like Big Boss, Roadies. I love all these shows, by the way. But still, I want variety. So from outside, I may be getting those. But here on Netflix, like, I'm sorry, but I'm disappointed with our catalog especially.
Like, isn't that a problem with the system, though, of like economic like resources and scarcity and the cost benefit analysis when it comes to art? Like, that's a problem with the system and not like inherently, because I agree that it's important to not sacrifice the quote unquote good. Okay, maybe that's not fair. There are good shows and good films. Like we should not be sacrificing them, for sure. So, I mean, it's a problem with the system, I would say. Like, we don't have to sacrifice one for the other. But unfortunately, that's just the way it is right now.
But we make the system, right? Like, we have to be accountable for our own choices, right? Like, the consumer is not somebody who's just... Like, the system works in a very simple thing, which is that what more people want to watch, that's more of what you're going to get.
So... Okay, it's a little more complicated than that when it comes to this whole supply-demand thing, because there's actually a lot of statistics and recent polls and surveys that show, especially when it comes to Marvel, because Marvel is just churning out like series after series after series. It's just a machine at this point. But and you would think that that's because people really like Marvel and want to watch Marvel all the time, but that's not actually the case, because the popularity of the superhero genre is itself declining, even among self-professed Marvel fans. And the problem is that the dominance of these studios and all of these big mergers turning production companies into huge conglomerates just crowds the space out for more like indie type of studios. And so that's kind of all we're getting, and that's why we watch it. So it's kind of like a bit of a chicken and egg situation. It's like, is it that we're only being offered this mindless entertainment and that's why we watch it, or are we being offered it because we watch it that much, you know? So it is more complicated than that.
Yeah, no, actually that's a fair point, Rita. Also in the sense that how people don't experiment with putting money into other things because you're just like, acha, okay, this will never work, it's a documentary, it'll never work, or now increasingly people don't even put films into the theaters unless it's a action, you know, oriented movie with a big superstar and stuff. I think a lot of the movies like Piku or Kahani or whatever, which we kind of grew up watching in the halls, I highly doubt they'll ever make it to the theaters now. So yeah, I agree, like there are other factors that play as well. But Rohita, wouldn't you say that keeping all of that together, that trashy TV does reduce and ruin the space for like other forms of art and culture? Everybody can answer that question. Poor Rohita has been put on the spot as like the most passionate defender of trashy TV.
Well, yeah, okay. Maybe this whole thing I was biased towards one particular subcategory of trashy TV, but when it comes to Marvel, I just have this, I'm just infuriated. And for me, that also counts as like trashy TV at the risk of offending a lot of Marvel fans. But yeah, I guess then it's just a matter of me having a soft spot for certain kinds of reality shows. But on the whole, maybe I would agree that we can't afford to give this much space to just this form of media.
On the other hand though, okay, just to kind of switch over to the other side for a bit and to think about it, like, do you think that there is something wrong / slightly uncomfortable with the way that we label certain forms of art as like trashy TV, like what you said about their origins itself, Vatsala? Do you think that some of that still applies? Like for us, we might consider certain kind of shows as like, oh, this was good because it maybe caters to our sensibility, but because a certain other kind of show doesn't, we're like, yeah, oh no, this is like trashy TV. So do you think there's something wrong with what we define as trash itself in that sense?
I mean, I have an issue with it, whole idea of talking down to someone for their choices or for their preferred forms of entertainment. So if someone likes the roadies, they will find acceptance in my eyes. So yeah, I don't think it's fair to call trashy, like other people's choices trashy and like look at them like, oh, you're not watching the cool content and so you're not cool.
I completely agree with not shaming anybody for their choices, but I also feel that, I mean, not going into the word specifically trash, but just as a culture, acknowledging that something is not, I feel like there are some things that like people should feel a bit iffy about watching, because then they'll know that what I'm consuming is not okay, because not everybody belongs to like, has the same sort of like community and culture around them that would call them out for these things.
Yeah.
So, and if they're watching the same things without like, someone talked about self-awareness, right? So
yeah,
like, I feel like when we label things as trashy TV, we are at least like perpetuating some awareness among the people who are watching this that, oh yeah, you watch it and it's fun and it's all great, like everyone's watching it, but know that it's not actually okay. So I think it's like a delicate sort of like, I think it's balance. Okay to acknowledge trashy TV to some extent.
But for me, I still find it like I'm still attached to it, because I still think there's value in witnessing this kind of histrionics and drama, because it offers an escape in the same way that any other form of art does. And there's a famous anthropologist, Margaret Mead, who does think along these lines too. She said way back in the 70s itself, she called a particular reality show a new kind of art form as significant as the invention of drama or the novel. So I don't know, do with that what you will. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking, is it my, like, uppityness or, like, stuck-upness that, like, I just can't, like, comparing a reality TV show to, like, a poem, a really well-written poem, like, in my head is exploding. Like, I...
But what about comparing to a Sydney Sheldon novel? Like,
yeah. It'll do. I think it's fine. Yeah, I guess reality TV show is like, yeah, a Sydney Sheldon novel in that sense. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's okay. It has its space as long as it doesn't take over. Or like a Chetan Bhagat novel. You know what I mean? Yeah. As long as it doesn't become the face of Indian literature.
You're okay with it.
It's fine. Yeah. Okay. I guess that's where that kind of helps. That Vatsala's analogy kind of helped put it in perspective. As long as it's one among like many options on a huge shelf, it's fine. The moment it becomes like the dominant... Mm-hmm. Whatever, I think it becomes like a problem.
I haven't watched the Meaningful. Last episode of Coffee with Karan, so that's what I'm watching tonight.
Oh, wow. I know one day I'm going to watch all of them. I will text you all the day that happens. I know it's going to happen to me. I'm going to break. On that note, see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by TS Studios, the production company that brings the Swaddles creative point of view to original podcasts and films.